When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online. Schedule package pickups through the dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Syndicated source material.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Syndicated Source Material, going into our 16th episode that aired on the Rattalichin Broadcasting Network. Looks like this aired back in early January of 2015. We are covering What If Volume 2, Number 24, What If Wolverine Had Become Lord of the Vampires. So the original length of this episode was 1 hour and 48 minutes, and after edit today, I got it down to 45 minutes. I'll explain why here as we get towards the end of this pre-roll. This book has an on-sale cover date, according to Mike's Amazing World of Comics, February 19th, 1991. Written by Roy Thomas, art by Tom Morgan, lettered by Janice Chang, and colorist Tom Vincent. So yeah, going back through this while I was editing, I made sure to share the picture. There's a picture in this comic of Punisher with a gun in his hand and the cloak of levitation surrounding him. Really cool picture. So I shared it again today. This is September, near the end of September 2020, on Facebook. Evan Bevins chimed in that he has a small HeroClix figure of that Punisher, which is, he posted a picture of it. It looked really cool. Ronnie mentions his friend Josh Calandros, who ends up becoming a friend of the show, a friend of mine. You'll hear Josh most likely in future episodes. He becomes a bit of a figure here for the Source Material podcast. I mentioned that it's a new year. It's 2015. And I was making a resolution. 2015 New Year's resolution was to sell comics. Okay? And you'll hear me mention that I had 12 boxes of comics, 12 long boxes of comics at that time. To this day, how many years? We're looking at a little bit more than 5, going on 6 years later. I have not got rid of any of those boxes. As a matter of fact, the collection has increased to close to 18 long boxes. And I specifically said in this episode, I did not want to move because of how many boxes of comics that I had. And I did. I moved in 2017, so about 2 years after this episode aired, and that was not fun, moving all 18 boxes. So a good portion of this episode, like I mentioned, we're down to less, chopped an hour out of this thing. And a good portion of it was near the end of our discussion on the book. Actually, it was after we'd finished the comic. Jason Teasley had called in, and we spent the rest of the episode just talking about random stuff. I think Teasley was getting ready to move. I had some extra spending money from Christmas, and I kind of asked what type of, or what graphic novel I should get, and other things that really were not essential to the podcast. So I made an executive decision to cut all that out. So all you have is the essential discussion on the issue at hand. So with that being said, let's go ahead and get into it. This is What If Wolverine Had Become Lord of the Vampires.
I am your host, Jesse Starcher, and I want to welcome you guys to another episode of Source Material. Trudging through and doing some of these What If mini episodes. If this is the first time you guys have had a chance to listen, the purpose of this show is to do our best to summarize some stories, some good stories and maybe some not so good stories out there in the comic book medium. That way, when you leave this podcast or you're done listening to it, you will have a very good idea of what has occurred. Maybe you'll make a decision whether to pick it up or not. Maybe it's something that you want in your collection. But joining me tonight, again, I think this is his third or fourth appearance on the show, Ronnie Adams from the Screaming Boy podcast. Ronnie, how is your new year going so far?
It is going very well, sir. How is your new year going?
It's doing good. It's doing good. I'm going to go ahead and preface this real quick. If I have to get up and leave this podcast for a few minutes, it's very well could be because my son took a 3-hour nap today. He may not want to go to bed at 9:30. So, Ronnie, I know you're used to taking over. You got your own podcast anyway on the Screaming Boy podcast. So if I leave you, sir, to take over, by all means, I know you're capable, and I know you've got everything there in front of you.
I do.
Yes, you do. And going into tonight's podcast, we're covering, like I said, we're covering the What If episode or the What If issue, some of the What If issues out there, some of our favorites. Last podcast I had you on, we did What If the Alien Costume had possessed Spider-Man, which, by the way, is doing fairly decent. It's doing pretty good numbers.
Good deal.
I'm proud of that. But, you know, one of the things I asked you was there another one that you were interested in doing? And you said, Wolverine, what if Wolverine was the Lord of the Vampires? Can you give me an idea of what led you to kind of say that one?
It was just a really dark issue that caught my eye. I was going through all my what ifs here recently, and this is definitely one of the favorite ones that I've read. It's just a really different look on Wolverine, all these different characters in there, and it's just not to say that all the what ifs are dark, but this one was really a really different perspective on the whole thing. Dracula, Wolverine, the Punisher, everybody.
Yeah, it definitely is. I think I believe I own this issue, but I can tell you it's been years since I read it up until, you know, a few days back. And you talk about dark. We're definitely going to get into that. And one of the many things I've said at the beginning of the What Ifs was all gloves are off. I mean, heroes may die, relationships severed. We already saw in What If, the first issue of What If where Spider-Man joined the Fantastic Four and Reed and Sue, their relationship ended as she went and became a fellow Atlantean to Namor. The issue that we're covering, for those keeping score out there, it's Volume 2, issue number 24. Came out in April of 1991. Roy Thomas is the writer, apparently also, well, co-writer, I'm guessing, because they list another guy by the name of J.M. Lofficer. Roy Thomas was one of the first writers of that first What If that I covered, so it's pretty cool to see him come back and do these. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty neat. Artist is a guy by the name of Tom Morgan. Can't say that I'm too familiar with any of his work, but I can tell you right now, it's in this issue, it's pretty strong. Would you agree?
Yeah. I think it's gorgeous in this issue.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the few things you catch. Again, this is he did a good job just by looking at some of the art and the way it's portrayed. I'm not I listen to podcasts about comics. I talk to a few people that, you know, write a few, but I certainly am not the most knowledgeable as to what goes into, you know, creating a comic book. We're getting into the early, you know, this is the early 90s here. Could you do me a favor and describe the cover of this comic book?
The cover of it is pretty fantastic. It has Wolverine hunched over Jean Grey's body, and he's apparently feeding off of her. It is has the Punisher in the background. It's definitely one of the that's the one that really caught my eye. That's one of the things that made me pick this up, because it's definitely, I mean, she's in her Phoenix outfit and everything, so you don't really see anybody taking advantage, not advantage, but, you know, really overpowering Jean Grey while she's the Phoenix. But you've got Wolverine feeding off of her, blood trickling down, and then the Punisher poised to strike in the background with his Uzi pointed right at seems to be the back Wolverine.
Right off the bat, you're thinking, okay, Wolverine is definitely a vampire here. What I was wondering is, we're at 1991. I was trying to remember when the first Punisher Wolverine battle actually happened in the Marvel Universe. I swear, I swear it was in, it's going to be in one of either two titles. It's either going to be in Punisher War Journal, because I can clearly remember, matter of fact, I see the cover right now, Punisher War Journal number 6. I don't know if you remember this cover, but Wolverine is like, he's got his shirt off and he's got his claws popped, and on the claws, he's making like an X with the claws. Matter of fact, I'll send this to you, but on the claws is Punisher's shirt.
I think that's it, because, yeah, it's got, because I don't know what you're talking about, and I just happened to pull it up. It's Wolverine with his claws and X with his claws through Punisher's shirt.
Yeah,
first
and
time,
I swear,
maybe the last.
June of 1989, published June of 1989 by Marvel. So, okay. So,
yeah.
But again, I can remember seeing these two guys. You know, I was a huge Punisher fan. I can remember seeing that cover going, oh man, this is going to be freaking awesome. The Punisher versus the Wolverine. I mean, I was so excited for it. So getting into this, we get probably one of the hottest battles. This is 1991, a couple years later. We get a kind of a new spin on one of our one of my favorite battles, which is Punisher and Wolverine. All right, so what if Wolverine was Lord of the Vampires? Now, first off, I didn't understand what story this came out of. This is a story that I'm not very familiar with. And obviously, Watcher does a good job, as he always does at the beginning, which is funny because in this particular issue, he like gets like all upset about the fact that he has to introduce himself again.
He's kind of d-bag about it.
And he's like, well, okay, well, just very well. If I got to tell you guys who I am, here we go. But like in every What If issue, you know, he gives us an idea of what happened in the Marvel 616. And apparently, the X-Men, which Colossus, Storm, Wolverine, Nightcrawler, and I think Kitty Pryde, all did battle with Dracula. Now, if I would have had the time, oh, never mind, they did it for us. The editors here gave us X-Men number 159. If you read the X-Men, you may have this in your collection. This is the story that they're bouncing the What If reality off of here. But anyway, they did battle with Dracula, the Dracula of the Marvel Universe, okay? Goes by Dracula, doesn't go by any other name, apparently. He is Dracula. Now, apparently, the Doctor Strange had Storm in his thrall, and there was a battle for her soul, according to this comic. In our reality, Kitty Pryde, I think, somehow knocked or got Storm Aurora back to her senses, and she helped turn on Dracula, zapped him real good, and then the X-Men helped try and defeat Dracula, and then Doctor Strange comes in. Doctor Strange comes in and reads something that's called the Montesi. I'm probably mispronouncing that, but it's the I'm going to call it Mount Montesi. We'll call it Montesi from here on out. At least I will. The Montesi formula. The Montesi formula is I guess some kind of a spell that he reads from the fabled Darkhold book. And this spell kills off Dracula and all that he has ever, I guess, fathered into vampirism. So in the Marvel Universe, Dracula dies and all the people that he's turned, and it kills off all of the vampires. And so thus ends the story there in the 616, where Dracula's no more. However, in this What If reality, by the way, Doctor Strange number 62, according to the What If here, says that that's where you can read where Doctor Strange gets in there and eradicates vampirism. Now, in this new reality, Storm does not come to her senses. And as a matter of fact, she's still, during this battle, she is completely loyal to Dracula. And instead of zapping Dracula, she zaps the X-Men, basically, and kind of knocks them out a little bit. Enough for Dracula to go over and bite and turn our heroes. First person he's latching onto is Wolverine. Then he hits Colossus. Then he hits Nightcrawler and turns them into vampires. Now, Wolverine is, for those of you who are pretty familiar with Wolverine, you know he's got a different mindset. You know, he's got the whole berserker mentality. He's a strong-willed person. That strong will actually benefits him to where he's not completely under the control of Dracula. And as a matter of fact, within two pages, Wolverine's decided that he's going to fight Dracula and take over and become the Lord of the Vampires. So we get a battle between Dracula and Wolverine. Now, here is a point in which I didn't know this, and I haven't watched Twilight, but I swear that I don't recall vampires turning into wolves. I was always Team Jacob, if you can call me anything, but I certainly don't remember vampires being able to change into wolves. Now, you may be more familiar with the whole vampire thing, but is that something that they can just shapeshift into whatever they want, or how does that work?
There are so many different powers that vampires are supposed to have had. I mean, different folklore, you know, you've got European, North American, all that, where they can shapeshift into animals and fog and stuff like that, but it's mostly like nocturnal animals. So like, and Bram Stoker's, which is what I use as my go-to. This is what they can do, and this is what, yeah, that's my definitive. A wolf, a bat, dust, fog, things like that, and he can impersonate other people too.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, so a wolf definitely. And Nosferatu, I think he could turn into a wolf.
Gotcha. All right, very cool. See, I learn something new every time when I do this show, and I hope our listeners do too. Wolverine turns into a wolf, and of course Dracula, he turns into this like man bat thing, and we get this battle that lasts for a couple pages. And again, Ronnie, if there's anything you want to jump in, point out that I'm missing, whatever, hop right into it.
Cool deal. I do want to point out that you can still see part of Wolverine is there because he calls him your bat ship. And then later on, he even calls him darling as they're about ready to fight. So there is a little bit of Wolverine's attitude still in there.
Absolutely. So yeah, they get into this fight. Wolverine gets a hold of Dracula's neck while in wolf form, you know, proceeds to, Dracula turns back into his human form. Wolverine sort of does. He becomes like this man-beast wolf-looking thing and walks over pretty much. Dracula says, end it then, and Wolverine pops his claws, and off goes Dracula's freaking head. We're in the 90s, folks. Things are getting a little grim and gritty still. off went Dracula's head. Matter of fact, obviously they don't show the cutting, but you just you see Dracula's head rolling down the hill, his mouth agape and his eyes wide open. So, okay. So Wolvie gets the best of Dracula, promptly beheads him, and they make a point to tell us here that because Wolverine drank from Dracula, he has become evil. Not only just evil, he's become like double evil, because the evil that Dracula inherited from whoever he bit, I know they name him in here, but the evil that he inherited then basically transfers over to Wolverine on top of Dracula's evil. So Wolverine is now like this evil badass vampire. Now Wolverine immediately, he starts sending off the X-Men to turn other mutants and other superheroes into vampires. He's now become the Lord of the Vampires, and he's got himself a plan on what to do with the world. He also learns of Doctor Strange and the Montesi formula. I'm going to pronounce that like three different ways before this thing's over with.
It all sounds right to me.
All right. I'm not adding letters. That's the good thing. I'm not adding letters, so that matters. But anyway, so he takes off, and he's attacking the attacking mutants, turning them into vampires, and they've fallen over New York City, and they're terrorizing New York City. But he learns about how Doctor Strange has this Montesi formula. They decide, okay, well, we can't let him get a hold of that. I don't know if Doctor Strange is just not aware that he has it in. He actually has it in his mansion in a book. What Wolverine decides to do is like, okay, we can't let him figure out that he's got this in his house. So the first thing we need to do is eliminate Doctor Strange. And they do that by setting up a trap for Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange falls for this trap. He's out like floating around New York City. He sees this red light, and it turns out it's the Ruby. Now here's going to be some pronunciation for you. The Ruby of Sidorak, which if that is the jewel, I believe, that the Juggernaut possesses that gives him his strength. Is that correct?
It is. It absolutely
okay.
is.
So he sees this shining like on some steps or something, heads down there to check it out, and before you know it, the Juggernaut just runs right in, smack dab right into the back of Stephen Strange. And immediately they tell you right here, it shatters Doctor Strange's spine. And then Juggernaut punches him in the face hard enough, I mean in the face, to where his head snaps back so fast that it breaks his neck. And that's pretty much the end of Doctor Strange right there. He's dead. Juggernaut picks him up, picks up Strange's body, and takes it back to Wolverine's lair. Wolverine's not taking any chances with Stephen Strange, because he knows how powerful he is. So he's like, you know what? Take him and throw him into the crocodiles. So So broken back or shattered spine, broken neck, and now just to make sure things are done for, we're going to throw him to the Crocs. And so I'm going to safely say that Doctor Strange is dead. Now, there's a point in there where they mention that Doctor Strange's cape flew away. Mm-hmm. Juggernaut kind of mentions that Doctor Strange's cape flew away, just as an aside thing. But, of course, I kind of thought that was going to come back into play here, so be prepared. Now, with Strange out of the way, the mutants are going to go on a full force attack on New York. We have some of our favorite superheroes not only becoming vampires, but are also becoming dead.
Yeah.
I mean, read off some of the, I don't know if you got it there in front of you, but if you look at, mm-hmm. give us some of the heroes there that are in that little panel.
The vampire, the ones he's turned, it looks like he's got Luke Cage, Spider-Man, Nick Fury, those, and the Hulk and She-Hulk are all been turned, and the villains are, Moon Knight has been turned, and the villains are Electro, looks like Kingpin, Dr. Octopus, Hobgoblin. I'm sorry, there's Dagger, Paladin, Rhino, Kraven the Hunter, Mole Man, and I guess because of these underground creatures, but I mean, really, Mole Man, Mysterio, Shocker, and I don't know who the blonde dude is, and then you got the dead ones, Hawkeye, Scarlet Witch, Quicksilver, Thing, a frog?
Somebody's going to have to tell us who that is, because we'll have to either do internet research or something, because I probably would have killed him, too.
Dr. Doom, Falcon, Namor, Vision, all of the Fantastic Four, not just Thing. Mockingbird, mm-hmm. Black Knight, Black Panther, another, looks like maybe Quasar, which I don't know how you would have got to him, because he's got the quantum bands, he's all cosmic stuff. Not really my forte there. But no, I'm sorry, the one I thought was Paladin was actually Cyclops. Paladin is a dead one. That's about it on the dead one. So that's, it says that he did it, there's no rhyme or reason, but it looks like all the strong personalities and the ones that could possibly take him out are the dead ones.
Yeah. Definitely. Because they make mention that, the conventional vampire, we're going to get into this, but conventional vampire weapons such as stakes are definitely deadly. So Hawkeye would probably want to be one of your first targets. Because if you were suffering, I mean, if all it would take is just a clear shot with him and you're done for. Okay, out of all the vampires, that he created, which one would you hate to face the most? Or actually, which one would you hate? Yeah, I've been my first choice, too. I mean, I don't give a crap about
Juggernaut's bad enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Juggernaut's bad enough. You've got two Hulks that are vampires, and then God knows what's going through Spider-Man's head, because he's turned dark several times in these What If comic books. But that's, the others I'm okay with. I mean, Mole Man, what?
Yeah, I agree. So we talked about who killed off. Now, they cut to the White House. And this is probably one of the funniest pages in this whole book, because it made me laugh. I don't know if you caught it. I'm sure you probably did. But, they're talking to the president, okay? We got this general up there talking to the president, say there's this plague we're powerless to stop the spread of this terrible plague. And the president, his reaction to this is, well, now, general, I'm sure that if young people will just be more careful about their dating habits, and if we could promote the use of condos. Okay, now we know there is no way that was supposed to be condos. No freaking way. But,
no.
obviously the general's talking about, the spread of the vampire plague. We find out that New York City has been quarantined. The military's come in and quarantined, so no one gets in. People who are trying to get in and trying to help are being stopped. They mentioned Captain America, Iron Man. They're not allowed in New York City to try and help out the people in there because they're afraid of the spread of this virus. The vampirism. No one's able to get out. So if you're perfectly okay and you're trying to get out of New York City, you're stuck. They're not going to let you. They're going to shoot you on sight, because just like you had mentioned, they can change their appearance. So there's probably no way of telling. So if it gets outside of New York City, the rest of the world's in peril. All right, we cut to Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange is still, oh, nope, he's not still alive. He's in his, as he usually is, I'd like to know the percentage that Doctor Strange spends in his astral form versus his physical form in the books, in the Doctor Strange books. I'm sure it's got to be at least, 80. Yeah, the dude's floating 80, around 20. Everywhere, 80-20. I mean, he could be looking at you right now, and you'd never know it. But Doctor Strange, he's floating around, he's still confused about the way he died, and this guy shows up, looks like they call him the Ancient One, which I don't know if that's his actual name or if he has a different name, but he's Stephen Strange is a student of this guy. The Ancient One says, hey, you know, look, get yourself together. You need to go and take care of this vampire problem by getting the Montesi formula. And, of course, Stephen Strange's like, well, how the hell am I going to do that? I'm dead. Well, he says, well, then what you need to do is find a human that will go in there and take care of it. Get it for you, and that'll be able to read it and take care of the vampires. So, Doctor Strange is on a mission, and the first place he comes across this alleyway, pretty much. There's these hooded figures. Now, you got vampires, which is bad enough, but then you got people who are dumb enough to want to be turned into vampires, and they've allied themselves with the freaking vampires. The Dark Order, I think, is what they call themselves, and they look like ninjas clothed in black, and they're going around terrorizing the city. But there's one man standing up for the good of New York City, and he is, I had a whole thing written out for him, too. Hold on just a second. Let me find this real quick. He is, here we go, because I wanted to make sure. These humans who are terrorizing the city, and their wish is to become vampires, but one man is taking the war to them.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Punisher. So the Punisher is there. Immediately, Doctor Strange is like, that's the guy. That's the guy I need. Ronnie, I'm going to let you take it over from here. Finish this out, man.
All right. So Doctor Strange sees the Punisher laying waste to these, as they call them, human toadies. And he says, that's the guy. And he floats down and he says, he pops into the Punisher's head. And Punisher says, somebody's in my head. Who is it? And where did this cape come from? And all of a sudden, Punisher's standing there with his submachine gun with Doctor Strange's cape wrapped around him, the eye of Agamotto right on his chest above the skull. So now Doctor Strange and the Punisher have become allies in the fight against the vampires. So Doctor Strange informs him that there's only one way to stop them all. He said he actually looks, not looks at him, he's in his head. He says, what if we can take them all down in one fell swoop? He said, that sounds good to the Punisher. He's asking him how he can be so cold and callous in this time. And he says, it seems that you've lost your soul. He said, mister, I lost my soul the day that my wife and kids were killed a lifetime ago. So much angst in the Punisher. And then one last bullet into the back of a toady. He said, let's go. So you've got the Punisher and Doctor Strange teaming up, and they head back to Doctor Strange's Sanctum Sanctorium. He leads him back in, but lying in wait is the Dark Order. So he makes quick work of them, and all of a sudden the big boys come out and play. We've got Juggernaut, Storm, it looks like maybe Sabretooth, Nightcrawler, Cyclops, and Colossus. Right there, Juggernaut and Colossus would scare the crap out of me.
Yeah.
So the fight ensues. So they're fighting the new improved Punisher, because not only that, he got his guns and everything else, he has the Cloak of Levitation from Doctor Strange. So he chucks a couple of garlic grenades at Nightcrawler and Cyclops. He just happens to have garlic grenades.
I would have loved to have seen Frank Castle back at his den. Man, I got to come up something with something for these damn vampires. And he goes to the grocery store and gets some garlic, and then he's got to modify a damn grenade in order to put garlic into it.
So, what did he use? Like hash garlic cloves, garlic powder?
Exactly. I mean, if there's anything I learned from Monster Squad, garlic sure can. It can do the job, whether in many forms. Absolutely.
So, well, the garlic leaves him reeling like it always does, and he takes them down with silver bullets, and which each have a cross carved into them.
Nice.
And all of a sudden,
didn't even notice that.
After he takes down Nightcrawler and Cyclops, he sees Storm coming at him, and she's in her bat form. So he takes his silver line gloves and rips her wings off, and then destroys her in a hail of gunfire. Comes down to it, there you've got Colossus, who is actually pretty ticked off that he killed Punisher killed his friends. But Punisher whips out another secret weapon, and it is a looks like a super soaker on steroids, and she just sprays him with water.
Yeah,
and Colossus says, "Well, you would fight me with water?" He says, "Not just any water, buddy. Holy water. I mean, you got all the tropes coming out, man. I love it. Makes short work of Colossus." And then comes one of the big boys, another one of the big boys, and then Juggernaut comes behind him and takes a swing at him and misses. But he grabs Frank Castle. He grabs the Punisher by the hands and puts him in kind of a
they're playing
of strength,
mercy,
like
this,
in yeah. wrestling. Yeah,
there
mercy.
Go. There you go.
And he makes note that because he hasn't crushed him yet, it's because of the gloves, and he has the shield of Sidorak around him, which is another Doctor Strange, little Doctor Strange trick for the, you know. So Punisher's making a pretty formidable foe for all these guys, even the Juggernaut and all of them. And he says he's going to crush his hands after a while. He said, "You just might, Jughead, if I didn't have a whole lot more than Strange's cape going for me." Agamotto opens up and just blasts him with what seems to be sunlight and lights him on fire, and he's done. So the Eye of Agamotto has destroyed Juggernaut. He's taken out just about all of the elite guard that Wolverine has going for him and that has protected him, all the mutants that he has around him. And then as he's going for the actual book where the spell is, in comes Lord of the Vampires Wolverine in a brand new outfit, cape and all. He's got a skull on his belt, new costume, giant cape flowing in the wind, and they are ready to tussle. So Wolverine tells him he's not about to get to that spell, cuts the cape off of him. He says, "Well, you got to say that, Punisher." He said, "The words of one syllable, all you hear see is blam, 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 blam." And then he runs out of
good
bullets.
One.
Yeah, exactly. It's time to go mano a mano. So he throws his gun down. Wolvie pops the claws. Punisher pulls out a knife that looks like maybe a short sword, like a Bowie knife kind of deal. And Wolverine comes at him and he cuts him. And he says, "That blade is made out of silver." And he says, "Worse than that, before I started this spree, I went and had it blessed by a priest." Another classic vampire.
Yeah. Yeah, they threw them all in here. I don't think... The only one I don't think we're going to see is the wooden stake. That's the only one, and that's the one I'm most familiar with, too, is the stake to the heart. As far as I know, I don't think we're going to see it. But, yeah, everything else is in this freaking comic.
Yeah, so they have a good fight. I mean, they're going at it. So he takes him inside, inside the room where into the Sanctum Sanctorum. I'm sorry that all this happened outside. So he pushes him in. All the spells that Doctor Strange has put in place are actually weakening Wolverine. So Punisher's actually kind of whipping up on him, and they finally make it all the way up into the room where the spell sits. And the Punisher jabs him one last time right in the gut with the silver blessed knife, and he runs off. And he said he says "You're on the ropes, and you know." Know it. He says, "But in case you're wondering, I'm not enjoying this, so I'm going to the end, and I'm going to end it right now and put you out of your..." And as soon as he's going to say misery, he's going to take that one last final death swing. All of a sudden, Kitty Pryde pops up through the floor. He says, "Stop, please don't kill him. Kitty, get out of the..." And Punisher can't stop, and in one fell swoop, cuts Kitty Pryde's head off.
Damn. I mean, heads are rolling in this issue. I mean, we got Dracula's heads rolling. Now we got her head bouncing off the floor. And, okay, let me just stop real quick. What the hell is Kitty Pryde doing? I mean, just in the middle of a fight, don't really hear nothing of her in this whole issue. And then all of a sudden, she just phases in to beg for the life of freaking Wolverine. We might get to that here in a few, because I know that we're going to talk about, you know, Wolverine here in a few seconds. But just straight out of nowhere, here comes Kitty Pryde. Just out of nowhere.
Well, she is a vampire, and she was turned by him, so she's trying to save him. So that's her lord, you know, that's Lord of the Vampires.
Okay.
And now she has got that lifeless look and no head.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Her head has been separated from her body, which ultimately enrages Wolverine. Punisher takes a second, is distracted because, you know, she's just a kid. She's a vampire, but she's just a kid. And Wolverine takes both fists, rams them into his ribs, and kills the Punisher, which actually falls in kind of a disturbing, almost Christ-like pose on the floor.
Oh, he does, doesn't he? Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. So you have Wolverine mourning over the loss of Kitty Pryde, and then out of the dead body of the Punisher rises Stephen Strange, the astral form of Stephen Strange, and explains to Wolverine that the reason he's feeling this regret and this loss over Kitty is because there is still some good in him. You know, even though he's got, you know, Count Dracula and the one before him, I don't know how to pronounce his name or the other one's name, so we'll just leave it at that because I don't want to sound stupid. But he said, you've got this course of three remains, but you've also got the same guy, you know, that came from James Hudson and Charles Xavier and the love of Jean Grey and all this stuff. So he has to make a choice, and Wolverine chooses the light, and he feels that this evil spell has been broken. He's still a vampire, though, and vampires are running rampant all over New York, possibly the world at this point. Stephen Strange, or Dr. Strange, tells him you have to read the spell from the book, and Wolverine, of course, like every other person that's being led through this spell or a spell like it, cannot read Latin. So Dr. Strange walks him through it, and as he's reading it, you see all these superhero vampires that are writhing in pain on the streets, like Moon Knight, and you've got Spider-Man and a few others here. And through the pain, because Wolverine at this point is starting to fall apart himself, he finishes the spell with a loud shout, and you see the Hulk, Nick Fury, Luke Cage, that's Doc Samson. Dr. Octopus and the Rhino and Kingpin all turning to ashes, as well as Wolverine. Everyone, all around the world, all definitely in New York, the vampires are no more. And we have a little, people coming out at night, even though, you know, they sense something's wrong. He says, Daddy, do you think they're gone for good? And so this little kid asks his dad and says, I don't know, but somehow I think they are. And then we have a shot of Wolverine's dust that still has kind of his face on it, you know, kind of just like a burned corpse. And Doctor Strange is taking his place with his mentor, the Ancient One, in the astral plane. And then we have the Watcher telling us that even though this was a crazy adventure that we went through, that evil looked like it was going to be, the world was going to be crushed by evil, I suspect it will triumph. And in the end, prove all that's stronger for, what is it? Shoot, I can read well.
Yeah.
I suspect it will triumph, and in the end, prove all the stronger for passing through such trials. And when it does, I shall be watching. The end.
Well, okay. Number one, I've read most of the Punisher stuff. I'm going to say all of it because there's a good bit out there, but I've read most of the Punisher stuff. But has there ever been an unlikely pairing of Punisher and Doctor Strange? I mean, those guys just seem like two separate peas and two separate pods to me.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't know if I've ever seen them actually in the 616 team up in any way, as far as I know. I know the Punisher teamed up with Eminem, I thought for sure that would be the last damn thing that would happen, and surely Stephen Strange teamed up with him at some point before that, but you never have. You never know. But yeah, it's pretty, again, what ifs take you out there, and just they can throw anything at you. you know, last thing you would ever expect to see is the Punisher freaking wearing the Eye of Agamotto and freaking Doctor Strange's cape.
Yeah.
That's the last thing you'd think you'd see.
That's another reason why this is one of my favorites, because the Punisher's not going to use magic or any mystic arts or anything like that. He is a gun and knife and grenade guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't take to this all this other stuff. He doesn't even really like superheroes. He doesn't team up with them. He kills the bad guy. He doesn't beat him up and let him escape from jail again. He kills him. He does away with him. So the fact that he's wearing all this, you know, all this Doctor Strange's garb and using his weapon, you know, Doctor Strange's weapons and his spells was really cool to me. And that's why I liked it so much when I was younger.
Yeah. And of course, the battle with Wolverine, you don't get too many Wolverine Punisher battles. And when you do, you want to get a hold of an issue that has it in there. And I would say definitely this is a good one. The art, again, Tom Morgan. I'm going to see if he's anything else out there.
He's got a little bit from what I can see. He, you know, West Coast Avengers, things like that.
Oh, really? Oh, West Coast Avengers. Mm-hmm. You know, I ended up as a collector, I rarely I rarely read any Avengers. If I was reading something, it was mostly X-books, to be honest. It was either Wolverine, Punisher. Marvel-wise, sometimes I'd get a hold of some Spider-Man, but I was really stuck to the X-books and Punisher. That was pretty much, you know, a kid collecting, you know, that was what I was getting. West Coast Avengers, I had no idea. Now, I actually stumbled upon It's very close to a full run of the Avengers in an auction.
Oh.
I said Avengers. West Coast Avengers. Okay, so don't get too excited. It was West Coast Avengers.
I have something about that as well.
I was going to say, I got it. Oh, man. I think I ended up getting it in a long box at this auction for, it was pretty cheap, but going through it, it was most of the run of West Coast, which is, there's some good stuff that happens. But Tom Morgan, is that his big deal?
He did some Captain America from 87 to 88, Punisher 2099, Iron Man, and Extreme Justice for DC.
I don't know anything about Extreme Justice. Punisher 2099, I'm familiar with.
Yeah. West Coast Avengers, Star Brand, Captain America Power Pack, a little bit of Star Trek, Adventures of Superman. There's some, you know, he drew the comic book version of Barack Obama's biography, What the Crack. I have a good friend, a phenomenal guy. His name is Josh Calandros, and he went on the hunt to get the full run of West Coast Avengers or Avengers West Coast, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure he still does. I hope he does, and I hope he got them all, the entire run of West Coast Avengers, because he enjoyed it. I mean, I always looked at it as the B team, because it kind of was. I mean, for goodness sakes, you had Darkhawk on there. But they weren't Great Lakes Avengers, so that's good. But
that's like the H team right there.
Yeah, I always picked at him. But I mean, you go back and you go, you've got the, you know, I think it's Hawkeye.
I know Tigra was on there.
Tigra, Iron Man, Wonder Man, and Mockingbird, and Jim Rhodes was Iron Man. So
Brody.
You had a pretty good team. Yeah, you had a good team. But I always picked at him. But I went back and read some of this, the West Coast Avengers West Coast, and then they kind of changed titles there for a while. After a while, and it's a fun read, man. It's really a fun read, and I wish I had the dedication to some of my runs as he did to that. So kudos to him for that, man.
Yeah, very cool. I see Josh post every once in a while. I know he's I see him on Facebook every once in a while talking about stuff. Here's my New Year's resolution, folks. I'll go ahead and I have not made one resolution. I know it's January 2nd going on January 3rd. My New Year's resolution is to read and sell what I feel comfortable selling. I've become a very big fan of going to auctions and trying to get as many comics. A lot of it to me is about quantity over quality. You're not going to see me spend a lot of money on an issue. I'm going to try and get the issue because I want to read it. I could give a crap less if it's worth $300, because a lot of times it's not. It's very rare nowadays that you find anything that's rare or that's worth a good bit of money. But I have a lot. I probably in 2005 or 2004, I can remember this pretty clearly, because if you have ever moved, which we know Teasley's in the process of doing, I'm sure you've moved in the past. if you have long boxes of comics that your ass has got to take upstairs because you're moving or put on a damn truck, you know how many long boxes you have.
Yeah.
So I had probably 3 to 3.5 long boxes in 2005. Started going to auctions in 2010 was the first auction I ever went to. So in 5 years' time, might even be a little bit later than that. Might have been even 2011. But 4 or 5 years' time, I've gone up to 12 long boxes now. And
that is impressive.
I do not want to move because of that. If I ever have to move, I'm just going to be like, gosh, I got to move all these. I got to go invest in a freaking like four dollies in a forklift. I think of what I'm going to try and do is I'm going to try and read what I got and turn around and sell it. And I'm not going to try and, you know, it's one of the things where I'm not going to try and get, you know, maximum price out of it. The cool thing is that some of it, just like your buddy Josh, he was going on trying to get full runs. And I think a lot of, obviously a full run of something is worth a lot more than, you know, 3 or 4 issues of something. You get a complete story, you know? So
absolutely.
I know I have a couple, I wouldn't say full runs of issues, but I mean, like, for example, Secret War. I don't know if you remember Secret Wars, but Secret War, which came out right prior to Civil War happened. That's one of those things that I read. It's sitting upstairs. I'm not one of these guys that grabs a storyline and reads it like, you know, every year. I read it like 3 years ago, and it's still sitting up there. And it's not doing me any good. I think, you know. So I think what I'm going to try and do this year is I'm going to try and start digging and pull some stuff out. And if I've read it, I'm going to try and do my best to get rid of it. Because honestly, man, I don't know where you're at. And I know you mentioned that you are part of the digital age. You have
I'm part of the digital age because there's not many physical, you know, brick and mortar places where I can buy comic books around here. There is one that I found and I have that I've been to once. I want to start frequenting. They're all, you know, half hour away from me to an hour away from me. I know half hour's not, doesn't sound like a lot, but when, you know,
after
work or, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, it's got, you know, some gas to get there. And then I'm going to go there and spend some big bucks because, you know, I'll want everything. So it's easier for me just to go into the digital age and pick and choose what I want. I tell you what, listening and being on the show, listening to the show has definitely made me go back into my long boxes and dig out some stuff that I forgot that I had. I appreciate that because it's encouraged me to go back and read some stuff. I mean, I had some first issues that I forgot I had, you know, Ultraverse, I had Prime and Hard Case and a few other things like that.
I never jumped into any of that, although here lately I've become a member of a couple Facebook groups or whatever. There's comics of the 1980s, comics of the 1990s. Well, anyway, guy was talking about some of the Ultraverse stuff that you were mentioning, and he wrote out who the writers were, and I think can you give me an idea who, because I know it was a popular writer that went off and was doing the Ultraverse. Any idea off the top of your head?
I know Prime was created by Bob Jacob and Jared Jones and a few others, and it was Malibu Comic Books, so Ultraverse.
There you go.
You know,
yes.
Yeah.
Is that
Malibu
who you're talking
Comics.
About?
Yeah, and Ultraverse. Yeah, Malibu Comics had some good crossovers with Marvel and stuff like that. So I mean, Ultraverse, you had all kind, you know, Mantra, you had Hard Case, Ultra Force, which was kind of like their Avengers. I think Prime, they were actually bought by Marvel. But I can't remember who actually was the ones that went away, broke off and created it. But I think it was like Malibu was launched 1986 by Dave Ulbrich and Tom Mason. They won some awards and things like that, I think, but they didn't get off the ground too well because, you know, of course, Ultraverse was, Malibu was bought by Marvel and all that, but they have some good books, man. They, you know, I got into the Ultraverse a little more than I did most Malibu, but you know, there was some good stuff in there.
Well, you're going back and you're reading it. What are you thinking so far? Going back and reading it. You enjoying it again?
Yeah, yeah. Prime was a little odd for me because it's a, it's a little weird because it's kind of a Captain Marvel Shazam kind of feel, because as a young kid who gets these powers, he can turn into this massive mountain of muscle who's almost like Superman, but he can only do it for a short time and then he reverts back. Well, being a comic book, he of course, the nerd always gets the powers but can't tell anybody. So he's got a crush on this girl and he keeps using his powers to impress this girl, but she's still in junior high school, and this like 30-year-old man is trying to impress her, and it's just like, this is kind of gross.
Oh, creepy.
Yeah, and like, this is weird, man. But Hard Case was always good. I mean, it's some good stuff. I mean, and then I went back and found some of my Death of Superman, and then when they brought the four different Superman back, which was kind of weird, but it's still a fun read. Of course, the Infinity Gauntlet, and some of the crossovers in it. So I've went back, and it's been a good walk down memory lane, man.
That's cool. That's really cool. Any other thoughts on the book? I mean, anything else you wanted to bring up? Anything else you enjoyed?
It was fantastic read. I mean, the What Ifs are always a good read. Like I said, I was going through my old comic books, and I brought out a couple of them. What If the Punisher had killed Daredevil, which is another one where Spider-Man goes off the deep end then. And then what if Captain America led an army of super soldiers into World War II, which was an awesome read, I think. So, grab it, man. I don't think you'll be disappointed. But as far as this one, it really shows, in my opinion, who they thought Wolverine was, that he's, you know, even though he's feral and berserker and all this stuff, and he's still a good guy at heart. And then you've got, because he loved Kitty like a little sister, and the Punisher, who, you know, like I said, kind of fell in that, you know, kind of disturbing, almost Christ-like pose, but he did give his life to try to save everybody else. So they gave him that savior, you know, kind of outlook on everything. So he died trying to save everybody from this outbreak of vampires. And then Doctor Strange is, you know, he's the only one that really didn't change very much.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Well, for Ronnie Adams, my name is Jesse Starcher. Thank you all for joining us on the newest episode for 2015. Hope you all have a great new year. Have a good one.
Thank you very much for joining us. Do not forget to subscribe to our new home by punching in W2M Network on just about any podcast platform to get all of our content into your audio feed. Also, give a like to the Rattlitch in Broadcasting Network and W2MNet.com Facebook page in order to stay on top of everything that we have to offer. If you'd like to follow the Source Material Podcast on social media, just follow @SourceMatCast on Twitter, and we are on Facebook @SourceMaterialComicsPodcast. If you enjoyed what you heard, please feel free to share. We look forward to entertaining you again soon.